he lives. Welcome to Settle the Ring, the hottest wrestling debate show out there on the Everything Unscripted Network. I am one of your contestants tonight, Daniel. I'm Daniel Hummer. I'm here with the host of tonight's episode, Eric.
What's up?
I'm here with one of the gladiators I'll be getting in the ring with, my brother Doug.
Yo.
And the returning champion, Clintus.
Hey.
But it's here to defend the Settle the Ring belt against us, the brothers.
You know, we actually had a decent strategy until we fucked it up. We forgot to tell Clintus what time the show actually was. We would have. There would have been a new champion by default. Had not we fucking fucked,
So I'm going to explain the rules real quick. I'll pass it to Doug for the plugs, and then Eric will take over and we'll get going. Now, the rules to Settle the Ring, there's going to be four rounds. This is a TNA / Impact Wrestling theme for this evening. So it's going to be TNA-based questions and stuff that we're going to debate on. Each round, we're all going to go around and give our initial pitch, and then Eric's going to ring the bell, and we're going to debate. At the end, he's going to give whoever he thinks won that round a point. At the end of all four rounds, whoever has the most points is the winner, and if there's not, Eric's going to have to come up with a new category on the fly. And we're going to have a son death.
I have an idea.
Okay, that's good. Now, before we get to all that, to Doug with the plugs.
All right, what am I doing? Hair plugs, butt plugs, show plugs. All right.
Start with the show. The butt plugs are after.
All right. Especially if you and I lose. All right, listen to Boxman and Smart, the dirt sheet dudes everywhere.
The dirt shit dudes.
The Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and Friday night. Mixer.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms, I'm pretty sure. They use around 10:15, 10:20-ish Eastern time, right after SmackDown. Right after wrestling. SmackDown on Fridays, AEW and NXT on Wednesdays. All right, listen to us, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted every Friday night for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. This upcoming Friday night, we will be talking about the very last episode of WCW Monday Night, provided everybody is still able to watch it. Because if then for anybody whose network subscription has already ended and they can't renew it, you know, they're screwed.
Yeah, expect some TNA shows in the future. We're probably going to get Plus and then maybe share the password with you guys so we can do a couple TNA shows.
Yeah, because the WWE Network's adding everything right away, and everything I had planned for the next couple of months is more than likely going to be in jeopardy.
We might have to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm not paying $120 for Honor Club.
Yeah.
We don't need to watch Ring of Honor.
Also, tune in for tomorrow, Sunday at 3 p.m. will be Scaredy Cats. We're going to be doing the Poltergeist 2000 to keep up our themes of bad remakes. Me and Mindy, our horror show, it's been doing well, so thanks for tuning in, and make sure to tune in to that one.
Yeah. Now, when are you guys going to let me launch my show talking about porn?
We are rated R, but maybe when we get back on Patreon.
Okay. All right, that's pretty much it.
All right, so everyone clear with the rules? Clint, you good? We all know how to do it.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, Eric, take it away.
Well, let's start with question number one. We'll start with Clint, since he's the defending champion.
How about this? I'll pass. I'll go last on this question because I'm just ready to go home. I'll be home in like 2 minutes, so.
Okay, that's fair. Who wants to go first, Daniel? Since you're the youngest.
Yeah, I'll go first.
Okay. Well, who is the best NWO/TNA/Impact World Champion of all time?
I am going to be going with a young man named AJ Styles as the surprise to everybody. What he's done is the TNA World Champion. First of all, not only is the John Cena of that company, he's the face of that company. He's got, because we're going NWA too, correct?
Yeah.
For this,
yep.
5 combined reigns, over 400 days, substantial numbers there. His reign was when he won at No Surrender, pinned Angle, I believe. Can't remember. That whole reign until he lost to Rob Van Dam was amazing. And that was like right as the Bischoff Hogan era and they were going to come and fuck up the company. That was kind of right before that. He had great matches with Sting. The match with Sting and Bound for Glory was amazing. He had a good match with Pope. He had the good heel turn. Anything that AJ Styles did is TNA World Champion. And even him like being the dark kind of another Sting character in 2013 when he had the last one left. He's been nothing but solid. And from winning it from Jarrett, back in the day when they had the weekly pay-per-views. You know, he's been a solid guy, and he's always a good person to throw in the belt picture. So, greatest NWA/TNA champion. There you go, AJ Styles.
Okay.
Great opener. Doug?
All right. So, my pick for this is Kurt Angle. He spent 9 years in TNA. He won the title. Well, the first time he won the title was when it actually switched over to the TNA World title. I think he beat Christian and Sting in a triple threat, but then it got vacated because him and Sting actually both won, you know, basically both won at the same time or whatever. And at the King of the Mountain match in 2007. Basically, he had just about free reign in 2007 because then when he lost his thing, he won it back. Then he won it again in 2009, 2011, 5. He's had six reigns as TNA World Champion. Okay? And as beat up as his body got, he still gave you the best performance he possibly could. He's main evented several pay-per-views for the company, the epic rivalry with AJ Styles, the epic rivalry with Samoa Joe, had a good rivalry with Sting, Lashley. He's probably better than AJ Styles. So, Kurt Angle is my choice there. Clinton is on mute. Clinton put himself on mute, so we might have to wait a minute.
Clinton, are you back?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm clear.
Yep.
You guys ready?
So, we'll do you two.
So I'm choosing some Bobby Roode. Okay. You guys might have an advantage because I really started picking up watching TNA from like the Kurt Angle debut on. So I'm going to go by what I was watching. And I'm going to go by Bobby Roode. Youngest champion, great champion. After he split Storms with James Storm after the beer. He was the longest reigning champion at around that time. He defeated around that time. Great as a heel. And the glorious performance like took over around 2011. Great heel. Not only was he a great world champion, well, a great tag team specialist too, so that's what I'm going with.
Yeah. Okay. Good openers, guys. So we'll start the debate now. So, Daniel, why is AJ Styles better than Kurt Angle and Bobby Roode as world champion?
Well, okay. First of all, I'm not putting Bobby Roode in the top 10 as world champions. He did okay. He did some work. His best work at TNA was in Beer Money. I kind of dismiss him as a champion. He did all right, but it was kind of just they needed someone in there, and I always prefer James Storm. Second of all, Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle's great. They should not have given him the title on his first day, but whatever. He is not AJ Styles, and he was always made to look better when he was in the ring with AJ Styles. They're both incredible athletes. Kurt Angle will always be known as one of the greatest guys to go to TNA from WWE, but that's what he was. AJ Styles is a homegrown TNA world champion. When you think of the TNA world, you think of AJ Styles. Kurt Angle, you think of a couple different companies and a couple different belts. AJ Styles is simultaneous with I fucked up the word, but AJ Styles can be linked to the TNA world champion. He's had a few reigns. Kurt's had reigns. I don't know if he's held for longer, but AJ has done more with the belt than what he's had the belt. And he has been able to provide better wrestling content for the viewer.
Ding, ding, ding. Doug, why is Kurt Angle better than Styles and Rude as world champion?
Okay, Bobby Roode had two reigns as TNA world champion, one of which only lasted a couple months, and that's only because TNA was off the air for a couple months because they had to switch networks.
I get it. His one reign was good. Come on, it's Kurt Angle. And as far as pigs in a blanket, AJ Styles pick.
Kurt Angle has always been better than AJ Styles. Look here, sausage.
he torched to AJ Styles. Cause
yeah, and then he took it back from him when he found out AJ was a fucking prick and couldn't carry the fucking company.
AJ did carry the company.
Yeah, and it fell on him.
Kurt Angle was in half a bottle of Percocet his whole run. He doesn't even remember his TNA run. AJ Styles
have
was
to
the face of that company.
Yeah, guess what? AJ Styles couldn't carry Kurt Angle's jockstrap. The only reason why AJ Styles was able to punch around with Kurt Angle's wife at the time is because she fucked everybody.
Right. Exactly, because he was not a man enough world champion. She needed other men. She needed AJ Styles and a legacy.
Yeah, well, Kurt
can
do better than Paul.
No. Well, quick. Well, you want to say that. Let's put it this way. She wound up with Jeff Jarrett of all places. Come on.
That's a legacy.
Yeah. So, like, Kurt Angle, the man, gold medalist, AJ Styles was turned down for the Olympics.
Kurt Angle, it doesn't matter.
Some of TNA's best years were under Kurt Angle.
You want to know why Kurt Angle, the only reason why I'll say this, Kurt Angle was used to put TNA on the mat because his explosiveness with that route put TNA on that mat. Made me start watching TNA because I had no idea what TNA was until I saw Kurt Angle randomly show up and smack headbutt some old Joe upside his head. And I said, okay. And then it's just size of the ring.
Okay. Well, I finished my
point. Are you
defending Bobby Roode?
But I'm going to go and sit there. I want to clear it this. But Bobby Roode is one of your, like, I guess, new generation wrestlers that I actually watch. And I loved his work. His work as a heel was perfect as champion, especially he was the longest reigning. One of the longest reigning TNA champions out there when I was watching it. I started watching it he was the longest reigning champion of all time. He turned his rivalry with James Storm, especially, didn't he beat Kurt Angle too?
Yes, he did.
And AJ Styles.
Well, yeah, they both beat him.
Yeah, but he also defended. He had
a
champion too. As champion, he beat them both. during his that long title run he had. And then all he's thinking was he was taking off air because he couldn't find a television network. That's the only reason why he had to forfeit his so-called title.
Well, that says something about him as a draw, too. Couldn't even stay on Spike.
Well, no, they couldn't stay on
well, Spike
because Dixie Carter secretly hired Vince Russo.
Yeah.
So that was Dixie Carter's fault for actually thinking she could trust that bastard.
Ding, ding, ding. So,
what is
no offense,
kind
of, I mean, but I can't put Bobby Roode over Kurt Angle and AJ Styles as best world champion. But he was a good champion. I'll give you that.
Well,
so it was between the brothers.
Eric, the check's going to clear.
Oh, my God.
As much as Doug made a great debate for AJ Styles, for Kurt Angle, Daniel had the point. AJ Styles was the face of TNA for over a decade, 10 years. He was the face of TNA.
You're a lovely man, Eric. I really like you. Big contributor.
My point.
Big fan.
Slight edge to Daniel.
Aha! Oh, I'm on the board.
So question number two. Let's see. Danny, do you want to start or do you want to go last?
I want to go last.
Okay. Claire, if you want to start this time?
I'll start it.
Okay. What was the best TNA feud of all time?
AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels. Those two always lit it up in the matches, especially set the S Division on fire between the matches. And not only that, the one-on-one matches were amazing as well. Victory Road, Lockdown. I think he had a match in the Lockdown one there. But it was a rivalry that not only lasted like, for years, but it drug it on that they was able to quit. And then once they got matched up together, had something special. They had great chemistry in the ring. That's why I will say those two were the best rivalry of all time.
Good opener. Doug?
All right, I'm going with Kurt Angle and AJ Styles. All right. Some of the best TNA matches that they had. Or some of the best matches in TNA featured Kurt Angle versus AJ Styles. And AJ, even though back then, you know, even when he was a babyface, he was still a fucking prick, played the, was able to kind of capitalize off Kurt Angle being a great heel. And yes, the feud started because Kurt's wife, fancied other men, like most strippers do, was still one of the greatest rivalries ever because it's basically more of an athletic competition.
Good opening. Daniel?
All right. The feud I have chosen, which is weird because I just said AJ Styles is the greatest champion. Now I'm going to have to argue against two of his feuds. But I'm going for Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle. One thing that TNA was missing for a long time, especially with the originals and other stuff, is having that big fight feel, having something feel epic. Whenever these two titans lock eyes, it feels epic. It feels like, you know, Frazier and Ali. It feels like Tyson and Holyfield. It feels like two monsters rip each other limb to limb. You know, every match they had, Angle walked in, made Joe and won the title, and it was badass. And then in that Iron Man match, it was amazing. He beat him 3-2 by a couple milliseconds because Joe almost made him tap out in the ankle lock. Incredible feud, and that Six Sides of Steel is still one of the best cage matches of all time. It was fought like an MMA-style match. They actually both guys got with MMA coaches before the match to make it look as real as possible and to make it look like a shoot. And everything behind the feud felt epic and awesome.
Respect.
Good opener side. So, Chris, what makes your feud better than the other two?
I want to say this. I respect because I enjoyed all three feuds, but my feud is fun because my feud lasted probably the longest. I think when Kurt Angle, Ooh's big feud was a big money feud. And like I said, Kurt Angle's feud set off TNA, put TNA on the map in my eyes. Because nobody really wasn't watching TNA at the time when all this was around. He was still, like, just getting over the generation of the ruthless aggression was just ending. That's what set TNA on the map, was the jump. Ruthless aggression was just ending when Samoa Joe got there. AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels, like, it was the originals, OGs, and I noticed. And when I looked up, and they expanded on and off. Not only were each other, they tagged together, they won titles, they set the F division on fire, and they actually made it something special to watch.
Mm-hmm. Ding, ding, ding. Good job, Doug. What sets yours better than apart from the other two?
Okay, so AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels was great. It was for like the X Division title. Actually, not. I mean, I know they did some world title stuff too, but it was more about the X Division. And plus, AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels also involved Claire Lynch, so automatically it's got to be disqualified. The worst storyline of all time. All right, Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe, yes, it did actually give TNA one of their biggest buy rates. But Kurt Angle and AJ Styles, the matches were awesome every time. Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe, it's basically you versus me, okay? Vapor Rub versus Chris. Okay, so back then, Kurt Angle was still all perkied up, and Samoa Joe was a fat piece of shit. So Kurt Angle, AJ Styles, the matches were just awesome, and it wasn't even a blood feud. It was just more of one of the most athletic rivalries of all time.
Ding, ding, ding. Good job, Doug. Good job. Daniel, what's this, your feud apart from the other two?
Well, not only
nothing.
Well, one big it was better. That's what sets it apart. Because Kurt Angle and AJ Styles, you know what you're going to get. It's a nice athletic competition, not much story, just good athleticism and good wrestling, and that's great. You just said it wasn't a blood feud. What do people love? Blood feud. What was Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle? A blood feud. Just wanted to kill each other. It wasn't about doing the acrobatic and looking pretty and making it look like an athletic competition. It's about tearing a guy limb from limb and they can do the athletic stuff. Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles is only good because they're buddies. And it was better, 10 times better, when you put Samoa Joe into the mix. That triple threat match was the best match in the rivalry. And Doug said... Okay, go ahead.
Okay, you said they're best friends, yes. But what's also Michaels and Triple H? They also had a great blood feud, and it was the best of friends. They also had the greatest of rivalries, too.
Yeah, we've also shit on Triple H for only being good when he wrestles with his friends. So it's got to go the other way, too. These guys are obviously going to be good together. They're friends. Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle never met a day in their life. You got a top WWE star 3 years earlier, made a bet at WrestleMania against a top indie star, Ring of Honor, having classic matches with CM Punk. Two totally different sides of the spectrum going at it and made eventing and, like Doug said, doing one of the better buy rates of TNA history. This was the equivalent to the Super Bowl for them whenever these two guys locked horns. it sets itself out because it's not just a great athletic competition like the other. The other two is great athletic competition. This is something else. It's more story. It's more vicious. It's more brutal. It's more of an aggressive concept of two guys going at it and wanting to kill each other. More like an MMA fight. It's more real.
You all three, all three of you made good points, great points. All three of you were probably the best, probably in the top five, at least top ten. This is a tough decision, but I'm gonna go with Daniel in this one.
You fucking raping piece of shit.
Two up, baby, two up.
He made the point where this was more than wrestling. This was a, he said personal, like a personal feud. He got to that point. I don't know if Kurt Angle and...
Fred Flintstone versus Peter Griffin.
It was a tough decision. It was close. It was close.
I don't think the check's going to clear from you anymore.
Yeah, no, I already canceled it.
Yeah. I'm
okay.
Definitely going to say
that. I'm not blowing him anymore either.
Wait, what? What did you just say?
What, my teeth?
We'll start with Doug on this one. The worst TNA feud of all time.
Okay. If I pick for the worst TNA feud of all time, and nobody's even going to remember this, so this is my point. We're going to go back to 2007, James Storm and Eric Young. And basically, they feuded because James Storm had a belt, the World Beer Drinking Championship. And James Storm... and Eric Young had a beer drinking contest. And basically what it was is if Storm can drink guys under the table, he retained the title. If you can somehow drink him under the table, then you won. They were drinking one night, and they thought Eric Young had passed out but he didn't really pass out. What happened was James Storm went up to grab his belt and he tripped and he fell. Well, the referee rang the bell or whatever, gave Eric Young the belt, and Eric Young became the World Drinking Champion. And James Storm then beat the shit out of Eric Young a few weeks later after he tried to get the belt back, and Eric won the beer drinking contest. Then they had a match. Eric Young won, rolling Storm up, and it was... The match was okay, but it was stupid. It was a feud started over beer drinking. And Eric Young won the beer drinking championship because James Storm tripped and fell. And this was back when Eric Young was, I mean, he was just starting out, and he was just more known as a comedy wrestler. And... this is back when James Storm was having a failed singles run. So that's my pick.
Good job. Who wants to go next? Daniel?
Okay, I'll go. My worst TNA feud of all time is Abyss versus Judas Messiah. Frankly, because... it's so unoriginal, it's kind of sad. They tried to capitalize off Kane and Undertaker and that whole feud. Not, I mean, like 10 years later. This, I forget, 2008, I believe this feud was. Their match, if we get Impact Plus, I will never watch Against All Odds 2008 because that barbed wire massacre match was fucking dog shit. Eventually, they got rid of Judas Messiah. You saw it was stupid. Having him come in as a brother to Abyss and try to make Abyss friendlier and it'd be like The Undertaker and Kane, and then you make James Mitchell the father, and it's just all unoriginal bullshit and trying to steal something that worked in the past. It was TNA at its worst.
Kenneth?
All right, I want to also do copy one of my worst views. I want to say TNA also tried to rip off in the past, but the brilliant minds of Paul Heyman trying to recreate RVD versus Jerry Lynn. They had a I think TNA wanted to that's when I think they did the first ever hardcore Justice pay-per-view, and that was or whatever, but they wanted to try to recreate Sparks, and they matched Jerry Lynn with RVD. I'm not sure. No, RVD, but they had one magical match, but after that, they tried to force it again and again. They tried to make a feud out of it, which didn't really click. It was probably worse. It's nothing worse than trying to recycle a feud from an old promotion into your own. Especially if you go on after, I think after 10 years plus, and try to recycle it and make it into your own, it's not going to work.
All good openers.
If Clinton had a good opener, why are Daniel and I just here, just sitting there trying to grab each other's nipples?
We are not doing that.
I don't want to know what you guys do.
I don't know.
Me either. All right, you want me to argue first?
Anyway, Doug, debate right. Away.
Okay.
Tell us why yours is worse than the other two.
Because it was over a fucking beer-drinking championship. At least the feuds that they listed, no, they didn't work, but at least, like, they tried to capitalize off something. James Storm and Eric Young would both become really good in TNA later on, but it just didn't work. As far as Abyss and Judas Messiah goes, nobody even remembers that feud.
Exactly.
Okay. Judas Messiah, and it failed because of the fact that, you know, if they would have started it when he first came in, when they originally wanted to bring him in for Monsters Ball, it would have worked. But the issue was, you know, Judas Messiah got hurt because he was too busy diving off fucking balconies in Puerto Rico. And unfortunately, he happened to miss one of the dives because he thought he was New Jack. But unfortunately, he was just New Jack ass. And the other feud with
Jerry Lynn and all.
I mean, Jerry Lynn.
It's on the fucking show.
At least, well, then quit grabbing me. RVD Jerry Lynn thing, I mean, yes, it was stupid, but at least the matches were good.
They had one good match. That was it.
After that, yeah, it can't even really be considered a feud.
And right. One good match, and then he kept replacing them all together.
They didn't even, it's not even really considered a feud. They had one match at fucking Bound for Glory, because the Hardcore Justice match couldn't happen because Jerry Lynn got hurt, or whatever. And Abyss and Judas Mysterious, like, they were just snake bit because the North Carolina or whatever said they couldn't do a barbed wire match there. So they had to tape the match in Florida. And when a match like that is taped, yes, it's going to suck. Fighting over a beer drinking championship and having Eric Young be top beer drinker, that's fucking dumb.
Ding, ding, ding. Nice job, Doug.
Thanks.
Daniel? I mean, no. Yeah, it's Daniel.
Me?
Yep.
I'll go. All right. Like Doug said so eloquently, Jerry Lynn and RVD actually had a good match out of it. So I don't know if I can put it as worst feud because I enjoy one of the, yes, it was a retread, but I did hate it. Now, I hated Judas Messiah and Abyss. It did not just work because of all the things that snake bit. It didn't work because the storyline was used from a better storyline that everyone already knew about. Why would you do the same thing, make James' father or James Mitchell the father, like Paul Bear?
Because his name is Father James Mitchell.
Yeah, but it still makes no – it's stupid. It's a simple retread of work before. People already compared Abyss to, like, Kane and shit like that and Undertaker, and that he was just their generic monster. So this just made people make that comparison even more. And your feud was entertaining. You had a funny Eric Young and James Storm kind of – we're being funny and comedic, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's room for some of that stuff in wrestling. That doesn't make it one of the worst feuds. This was actually pure dumb shit that was supposed to be taken seriously. You weren't supposed to take your feud seriously. You're supposed to sit back, eat the popcorn, have some fun with it. You were supposed to watch and be like, oh, that's a good story. But you can't because the story sucked ass.
Good job, ding, ding, ding. Ow. Good job.
Like I said before, the Eric Young and the beer drinking, that was all for comedy release. Sometimes you need comedy release in between just to give you something to look forward to and keep you occupied. It kept you glued to the TV. So you can't call that the worst feud out there. And the James Storm, and then with the Abyss, and then the Rey Mysterio, I really don't remember much of it because that was just boring Abyss type of times. But RVD and James Storm was so like over
RVD 10 and Jerry
years.
Lynn is what you're arguing.
Jerry, whatever. That's what I'm getting tired of this. Because this is all TNA stuff that I haven't watched in over 10. I don't have Impact Plus like you guys have. So I'm going by.
Well, you want to get it so you can watch the Rich Swann Kenny Omega thing.
I watched, I have a link that I can actually watch it for free.
Please, because if this asshole gets another thing, it's pretty much over.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, I had nothing with it, but your feud, Doug, is just like comedy release will make it great. You need comedy to do that. That's why yours can't be the worst. Mine is the worst because of two guys from an old promotion that joined another one to try to create. That's like watching what WCW did with Hogan and Roddy Piper. Hogan, and they recycled the whole thing with the Ultimate Warrior 10 years later. Like, you can't recycle old feuds like that, especially to make boss office hits like that. You can't.
Ding, ding, ding. Very well put, Clintus. All three of you make great points. This ends round three. Another hard decision.
Oh, shit.
Unfortunately, Doug, you have been officially eliminated. Sorry, Doug.
I'm over there.
Both Daniel and Clint have made great points that yours with the comedy feud. They do both make great points in that.
Like
oh, come on, Doug. I have to be fair here. I'm going to give my point to Clinton this round. Recycle a feud from ECW, which was one of the greatest feuds in ECW. And TNA did it. It just didn't add up. So I'll give it to Clint in this round.
So that means Doug gets
the
point.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I don't even, like, I can't, I'm technically officially eliminated.
You're mathematically eliminated. You cannot win.
Yeah.
So you get to judge now with Eric for the last round.
Well, at least it'll be good.
So,
okay.
So, we'll have two judges in this round, me and Doug. So,
which means there's going to be a winner.
Yeah. No tiebreaker in this today. Could be a new champion or a kind of retains his championship. So we'll start with Clint this time. What was the worst TNA pay-per-view of all time? Is it going to be good?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Victory Road 2009. The headline of that pay-per-view was Mick Foley versus Kurt Angle for the TNA World Championship.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Mick Foley. You also had, and in this match, on this card, you had AJ Styles defending the Legends Championship against Kevin Nash. Downer. You had Charmelle, Booker T's wife, take on Jenna Medusa or whatever, and her in-ring debut.
Oh, that did suck.
Yeah, and then you had Team 3D defend their newly won Japan IWGP World Tag Team Champions against the division, the British Invasions. You had Abyss versus Dr. Stevie. Matt Morgan versus Christopher Daniel versus Daniels, and then you open the card off with I think an okay match with a Knockouts Championship with Andrew Love versus Terror. The worst card out there. Number one, why are you defending a title that's not even yours on your pay per view card of all things?
Yeah.
And Mick Foley is so old by this time around that you have he doesn't really need to be in a main event, especially a title picture. The best match on the card, I think, was probably Samoa Joe versus Sting.
Good opener. Daniel?
Okay. So I'm going to Victory Road as well, but I'm going to go 2011. This pay-per-view was not only in the ill-fated Hogan-Bischoff regime, it was awful. It was a built that would be one of the best main events of all time, Jeff Hardy and Sting, the Enigma versus the Icon. This is supposed to be great. Too bad Jeff feels like popping a couple perks before the show. He gets all drugged up, gets there, and can't do shit. He fucking stumbles his way to the ring. Did we buy this?
No, but we heard about it the next day because a friend of yours actually bought it.
Yeah, and it sucked. You didn't get a match because it was only a minute and 20 seconds. Bischoff had to come out, say it was a hardcore match with why. Makes no sense, did nothing for the story. And then, you know, Sting did a shoot pin, held him down, even though Hardy tried to kick out. Sting looked at the fans and said, I agree, when they were talking shit about it. He said, I agree. And then he walked away. That's how you know it's dog shit. And let me give you two other words to why this pay-per-view was terrible. Inc. They lost to Beer Money. Awful tag team. Awful fucking tag team. You got Jesse Neal and Shannon Moore, and their whole gimmick is that they're tattoo artists. They were not good. Nothing else. There was not really anything noteworthy on this pay-per-view. You had the stupid knockout feud with Winter, which was she was Paul Burchill's sister in the WWE, and she was trying to infiltrate the beautiful people, and they went against Rosita and Serena, I think. That was the throwaway women's match. So there was nothing really good here, and the couple of bright spots that there were could not save the show. Matt Hardy and AJ Styles got wasted because that whole stupid feud with Ric Flair leaving Fortune was garbage. Everything about this pay-per-view sucked.
Good opener, Daniel. Clint, what sets yours apart? What makes yours worse than Daniel's? And both are really bad.
They're both really bad. I think they're both top two worst pay-per-views of all time.
But we might have to watch both of them while we're waiting for stuff to get back on the network.
Oh, God. Okay. So I want to say mine is worse because, number one, it's the whole card. Besides Samoa Joe and Sting, the matchups are completely awful. Why is Mick Foley in the main event in the title picture knowing that, number one, he's already retired? He's not that really good. He's facing Kurt Angle of all things. This is like remind me of watching like an old WWE pay-per-view, watching two WWE wrestlers go at it in a promotion. You have the Dudley Boys, newly won
Japan tag team titles. Why are you defending their titles on another brand's pay-per-view? Against their champions, AJ Styles and Kevin Nash. Kevin Nash is washed, being washed up by this time, knee surgeries and all. We all know he's going to win. This, looking at this card, it's just pathetic, useless. Charmel. Charmel is not a wrestler. What is she going to get? She lasted 5 minutes, not even 4 minutes in the match. That's not even enough time to run to the bathroom and get something to eat and come back for the next one.
Ping-ping game.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, you're not done?
No, yeah, go. No, I'm good.
All right, then, Daniel?
All right. Christopher Daniels and Matt Morgan was a good match. And also, Samoa Joe and Sting was on that card, right?
Yeah.
That was a great match.
Yeah.
And at least Kurt Angle and Mick Foley tried to have a match. Sting and Jeff Hardy couldn't have a match because Jeff Hardy did not have respect for the wrestling business at this point. And even though I love Jeff Hardy and I love the retribution after this and how he came back and made something of himself and got clean, but he was succumbing to his demons at this point and he ruined the show. Every young kid came there expecting Sting and Jeff Hardy, and that's why anyone who bought the pay-per-view bought it. That's what they were looking forward to, and they didn't get it. And even RVD and fucking Mr. Anderson, which could have been another big money match, ended in a double countout. They couldn't even give the fans a finish for that. So everything on my pay-per-view was pure dog shit. At least there was a couple bright spots on clinics. Matt Hardy was... both guys' potential could not do anything against each other because of the stupid feud they were in. And Ric Flair, of course, does what Ric Flair always does now and steals screen time for people that deserve it. So everything about my pay-per-view, and this was at least 2009 when this was happening, you can look forward and say, okay, at least TNA is going to do some better stuff in the future. After this, and this Hogan and Bischoff resume, you know, this whole thing is bad and it's only going to get worse. And we know it just gets downhill from here because we saw it happen.
Ding, ding, ding. That ends round four. Me and Doug will have tough decisions to make. Doug, do you want to go first? Or should I? Have you made your decision?
Kinda. Like, I kind of had my decision, but it got turned.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So, do you want to go first, or do you want me to?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Both made great points. I'm interested to see both watch these two interviews just to get a point if I how bad it was. But Clarence made a great point with his every match, but one or two were bad. Up and down the card, you got the main event, which shouldn't have been the main event. Before he was in his late 40s, by that time? Or is he in his
50s? Yeah, he was about 46.
and that Mick Foley shouldn't be headlining a pay-per-view in 2009. And in any promotion. I don't care how big he was in 15 years earlier. Daniel, you made a good point with yours with Jeff Hardy and that hiccup. And that was a mess. So, boy, this is hard. Since there was a few good matches on clinics, I'm going to have to give mine to Daniel. All
right, so then mine...
Because of, what?
Mine doesn't even matter then, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, because here was the thing. I was going to vote for Clintus until Daniel made his point. Until Daniel made his
point. I was going to Clintus, too.
Because believe it or not, even though my brother seems like the perfect little angel that everybody grown to love. He is a sadistic prick.
Thanks, bud.
However, he made a better argument because at least like on Clintus pay-per-view, even though Charmel and Jenna Maraska,
that was bad.
Like that was fucking awful. And I would take a drugged up Jeff Hardy versus Sting, over those two any day. Like I can't remember anything really that good about Victory Road 2011 because I really can't remember the show. And the only thing I remember about that show,
yeah,
was the Jeff Hardy.
So unfortunately, like my point would have gone to taking a blanket here.
Okay, so it's 4-1-0.
I was going to go Kranus too, but Daniel changed my mind too. So
I really don't think Daniel likes hosting and settle it in the ring anymore.
Kranus, you were great champion. You'll have another chance to come back and take that crown back at some point. As Daniel's the new champion. We'll have a rematch between Daniel and Kranus because they both made great points. And it was really, it came down to that little detail with slightly.
You
know, detail. Well, this was a lot of fun. Congrats to all three of you. You did all three of you did good. Even though Doug was eliminated early, he still did a good job.
He gets an E for effort.
Dan, you want to take us home?
Yeah, this was all. We'll see everyone next week.
Yeah. Later.
Next week. Later.
All right, guys.
All right. Wait. Who's going to be on the show next week? Anyway. Figure it out. All right, cool.
We already decided on your matchup next week, or?
All right. Yeah, I got shit to do.
All right. Been a struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking with the bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack.